Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this day back in 1980 that which song was proclaimed the national anthem of Canada? Was it A, The Canadian Dream? Was it B, Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport? Was it C, O Canada? Or was it D, Sundown? 1980, Canada's national anthem. What was that song anyhow? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1991 that rock singer Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses sparked a riot during a concert by doing what? Was it A, biting the head off a rodent on stage? Was it B, setting the Confederate rebel flag on fire on stage? Was it C, jumping off the stage and attacking a fan? Or was it D, performing while inebriated and slurring the lyrics? 1991, Axl Rose did what to spark a concert riot? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 1st of July. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1930, that jazz clarinet musician Pete Fountain was born. Fountain was a founder and the most prominent member of the Half Fast Walking Club, one of the best-known freelance marching units that parade in New Orleans on Mardi Gras Day. The original name was the Half-Assed Walking Club, and it was an excuse to take a lubricated musical stroll down the parade route. And it was 66 years ago today, 1956, that Elvis Presley appeared on The Steve Allen Show. He was told not to dance, and Allen had him sing Hound Dog to a real basset hound wearing tails. Elvis's Hound Dog on the Steve Allen TV show today, back in 1956. Musical saw rendition of the Star Spangled Banner transfixes American baseball game fans. Subtitled, two-time international musical saw champion Caroline McCaskey performed the American national anthem during a baseball game, introducing a host of sports fans to the very uncommon instrument. This is published on 9 June 2022 in ClassicFM.com, written by Sophia Alexandra Hall. The American National Anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, is a staple when it comes to sporting events in the USA, regardless of the sport, be it American football, baseball, or basketball. Playing the anthem is a sign of pride and patriotism for many Americans, and being asked to perform said music at such an event is a distinguished honor. At a recent baseball game between the Boston Red Sox and Oakland A's, award-winning musician Caroline McCaskey was asked to play the Star Spangled Banner to signal the start of the game. While the anthem is mostly sung, it can also be performed on a variety of instruments, from the electric guitar to the trumpet. However, it's fair to say many of the fans waiting for the start of the baseball game weren't expecting McCaskey to walk onto the pitch holding neither of these instruments, but instead a musical saw. West Side Stories cast performing America introduce our jazz, blues, and Broadway music news. It's titled The Divided States of America, Why Rita Moreno Objected to West Side Stories' Original Lyrics. This is written by Lawrence Maslon, published in PBS.org on October the 8th, 2021. Movie adaptations of Broadway musicals veer wildly in their fidelity to the original source. Some are extremely faithful, South Pacific, Fiddler on the Roof. Others take a more liberal stance. The film of Cabaret entirely replaced its original subplot with a completely new one, cutting out half the score. That's okay. In the multiple Academy Award-winning 1961 film of West Side Story, which is, by and large, pretty faithful to the stage version, there's one tiny addition to the original number, America, but it's so memorable and so resonant that it nearly necessitates a complete reframing of the song. Before Rita Moreno, in her Oscar-winning performance as Anita, launches into her lyrical praise of the charms of urban America, she sings, "I like the Isle of Manhattan," and her friend Consuelo comments, "I know you do, ooh." This line was not in the original show nor on the original cast album, and yet every subsequent recording of Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim's score includes it. The line is a wonderfully sassy acknowledgement of Anita's overly enthusiastic buy-in to the American dream, and it's rendered with a weary cynicism. She's clearly heard all this before. But in the original number, as rendered 4 years earlier on stage, America isn't so much about the ambivalence of the American dream. It's centered around promoting America's charms at the expense of Puerto Rico's poverty. According to lyricist Sondheim, the number was supposed to be an argument between Anita and her boyfriend, Bernardo, as a way of giving their relationships an added dimension. But the show's director, Jerome Robbins, wanted a musical number that featured only women. There were already too many dancing and jumping boys, in this case, the girlfriends of the Sharks. The character of Rosalia was invented to take Bernardo's point of view, wrote Sondheim in his memoirs, and that point of view was naively pro-Puerto Rican. Rosalia doesn't figure in the plot. In fact, wrote Sondheim, because Rosalia is a non-entity, the stage version makes Anita something of a smartass. The back and forth in the lyrics between Rosalia and Anita sets up a pattern. Rosalia sings nostalgically about her home country, while Anita denigrates it, most significantly at the top of the number when she turns the island of tropical breezes into Puerto Rico, you ugly island, island of tropic diseases. This begins a 4.5-minute smackdown of Puerto Rico, set to some of Bernstein's most vibrant dance music. Sondheim himself admitted he had never even met a Puerto Rican when he took on the writing assignment. It all goes back to what Lin-Manuel Miranda refers to in the musical Hamilton, "Who Tells Your Story?" The reference to Islet of Tropic Diseases is a blow below the belt. This is not based on fact. Puerto Rico has no significant disease problem related to its tropical climate. The Commonwealth of Puerto Rico has made tremendous strides towards in public health. Mr. Sondheim's lyrics will probably remain unchanged, and Puerto Rico's mortality rates will continue to decline.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Everclears introduces our music research and technology, where we learn about the diffusion of a technology that spread music around the world. It's entitled History of the Radio, From Inception to Modern Day. This is published in TechWholesale.com by Joe Wood. In modern society, radios are common technology in the car and in the home. In fact, in today's world, one would be hard-pressed to find anyone who has not heard of, seen, or used a radio during his or her life, regardless of how old or young they may be. This was not always the case, however. Before the 19th century, wireless radio communication in everyday life was a thing of fantasy. Even after the development of the radio in the late 1800s, it took many years before radios went mainstream and became a household fixture. The history of the radio is a fascinating one that changed how the world connected and communicated from distances both far and near. While the radio enjoys a long and interesting history, its earliest beginnings are still quite controversial. There's some debate as to who actually invented the radio. While we may not know with certainty who put together the first radio device, we do know that in 1893, the inventor, Nikola Tesla, demonstrated a wireless radio in St. Louis, Missouri. Despite this demonstration, Guglielmo Marconi is the person most often credited as the father and inventor of the radio. It was Marconi that was awarded the very first wireless telegraphy patent in England in the year 1896, securing his spot in radio's history. A year later, however, Tesla filed for patents for his basic radio in the United States. His patent request was granted in 1900, 4 full years after Marconi's patent was awarded. Regardless of who created the very first radio, on December 12, 1901, Marconi's place in history was forever sealed when he became the first person to transmit signals across the Atlantic Ocean. Prior to the 1920s, the radio was primarily used to contact ships that were out at sea. Radio communications were not very clear, so operators typically relied on the use of Morse code messages. With World War I, the importance of the radio became apparent, and its usefulness increased significantly. In the 1920s following the war, civilians began to purchase radios for private use. In 1920, the Westinghouse Company applied for and received a commercial radio license. It was also Westinghouse which first began advertising the sale of radios to the public. While manufactured radios were finding their way into the mainstream, home-built radio receivers were a solution for some households. In Britain, radio broadcast began in 1922 with the British Broadcasting Company, or BBC, in London. The broadcast quickly spread across the UK, but failed to usurp newspapers until 1926, when the newspapers went on strike. During World War II, the radio once again fulfilled an important role for both the U.S. and the U.K. With the help of journalists, radio relayed news of the war to the public. The way in which radio was used also changed the world after World War II. While radio had previously been a source of entertainment in the form of serial programs, after the war it began to focus more on playing the music of the time. The top 40 in music became popular during this period, and the target audience went from families to preteens up to adults in their mid-30s. Music and radio continued to rise in popularity until they became synonymous with one another. FM radio stations began to overtake original AM stations, and new forms of music such as rock and roll began to emerge. Today, radio has become much more than Tesla or Marconi could have ever imagined. Traditional radios and radio broadcasting have become a thing of the past. Instead, radio has steadily evolved to keep up with current technology, with satellite and streaming internet stations gaining popularity. Radios are found not only in homes, but they are also a staple in vehicles.
Be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag.
Simon and Garfunkel's America introduces our rock and pop music news. It's the backstory to Simon and Garfunkel's song, America. This is published in songfacts.com. In this song, Paul Simon and his longtime girlfriend, Kathy Chitty, from Kathy's song, are coming to America, moving from England. Paul is deeply confused and unsatisfied, but he doesn't know why. He just knows that something is missing. It's also about the American dream, the guarantee that you will make it if you stumble upon this country. That is why they are coming to America. The song is a great example of Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel singing in unison, which was a hallmark of their sound. Garfunkel is especially fond of the section where they sing, "And walked off to look for America." He told Paul Zolo in 1993, "That has a real upright, earnest quality because we both have the identical soul at that moment." There are no rhymes in this song, which is quite a feat of songwriting. In his Song Facts interview, Jerry Beckley broke it down. The entire song is prose. There's not one line that rhymes, and I will tell some of the best songwriters you've ever met that particular element, and you can see them stop and go through it in their head. We're oblivious to that being an ingredient because we're so involved in the story. The song was included on their fourth studio album, Bookends, in 1968. America is a song that creates a cinematic vista that tells of the singer's search for a literal and physical America that seems to have disappeared along with the country's beauty and ideals. Art Garfunkel once described the song as young lovers with their adventure and optimism. The song has been described as a folk song with a lilting soprano saxophone in its refrain, as a small pipe organ paints acoustic guitars framed by the ghostly traces of classic American songbook pop structures. The song rose to number 97 on Billboard's Top 100 in the U.S. and all the way to number 25 in U.K. singles charts. And in local music news, we have this article entitled Triangle 4th of July Fireworks and Celebrations 2022, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and many more. This is written by Jody Mays, TriangleOnTheCheap.com. Every July 4th is free fishing day at any public body of water in North Carolina. Fish anywhere without a license. Other regulations such as size limitations and lure restrictions still apply. If you don't have fishing equipment, many facilities operate a tackle loan program. In Durham, Children's Independence Day Parade, Monday, July 4th, 2022, from 9 to 11 a.m., Durham Central Park, 501 Foster Street in Durham, and it's free. Bring the kids to the pavilion. Kids can decorate their bikes, trikes, wagons, and scooters, and then participate in the parade. There will be free popsicles after the parade for the kids. There will also be tours of a fire engine and ambulance. And then there's fireworks after Durham Bulls game on Monday, July 4, 2022. There will be fireworks after the Durham Bulls game on July 4th. The game starts at 6:05 and the fireworks will start at approximately 9:15 p.m. Gates will open for general admission at the end of the seventh inning based on availability for those who would like to view the fireworks show from inside the ballpark. Please note, viewing areas are limited outside the ballpark. Purchasing tickets to the game is strongly encouraged and ensures a spot inside the Durham Bulls Athletic Park to which the fireworks they can watch. Viewing sites outside the ballpark include the grassy area behind Diamond View 3, Burt's Bees outside of the North Deck, Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, and Pony Saurus Brewing. And in Raleigh, the official City of Raleigh 4th of July fireworks show will be at Dix Park on Monday, July the 4th, 2022. Gates open at 6 p.m. and the fireworks show will take place at 9:30 p.m. Before the fireworks, enjoy music from the DJ stage and field games like Cornhole and Giant Connect 4. No vehicle traffic will be allowed in Dix Park, but there will be a free parking at NCSU Centennial Campus and downtown Raleigh parking decks, with free shuttles from Centennial Campus and Moore Square. So go to TriangleOnTheCheap.com, that's one word, for details about additional 4th of July celebrations in the Triangle area. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1980 that which song was proclaimed the National Anthem of Canada? Was it A, the Canadian Dream, B, Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport, C, O Canada, or D, Sundown? Correct answer. Answer C, O Canada. As noted in the website, canada.ca/Canadian/heritage, some think of Calixa Lavallée as an obscure music teacher who improvised a patriotic song in a moment of inspiration, but the truth is quite different. Known as Canada's national musician, Calixa was asked to compose the music for a poem written by Adolphe Routhier, which was to be performed in honor of the National Congress of French Canada on June 24, 1880. It is said that in his excitement, Lavallée rushed to show his music to the lieutenant governor without even stopping to sign the manuscript. Although this first rendition of O Canada with Routhier's French words was well received, it does not seem to have made a lasting impression. English Canada probably first heard O Canada when school children sang it for the Duke and Duchess of Cornwall, later King George V and Queen Mary, when they toured Canada in 1901. The most popular version was written in 1908 by Robert Stanley Weir, a lawyer and recorder of the city of Montreal. A slightly modified version of Weir's 1908 poem was published in an official form for the Diamond Jubilee of Confederation in 1927 and gradually became the most widely accepted and performed version of this song in English-speaking Canada. The French lyrics of 1880 remain unchanged. Following other minor changes, the first verse of Weir's poem was proclaimed as Canada's national anthem when Parliament passed the National Anthem Act in 1980. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1991 that rock singer Axl Rose sparked a riot during a concert by doing what? Was it A, biting the head off a rodent on stage? Was it B, setting the Confederate rebel flag on fire on stage? Was it C, jumping off the stage and attacking a fan? Or was it D, performing while inebriated and slurring the lyrics? Correct answer? Answer C, Axl Rose, lead singer of the heavy metal band Guns N' Roses, sparked a riot during a concert when he jumped off the stage and attacked a fan. Rose believed that the fan had been videotaping his St. Louis concert. 60 people were hurt in the ensuing riot. Well, let's close out today's program with a 4th of July tribute by Ray Charles.
Self, yeah, country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time. America.